Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, they say the only constant in life is change. You've seen that, right? I see some people nodding their heads. You know how the world's changed? Just think about how your life has changed from your parents' life. Or how your kids' lives are different than your life. Yes, parents do their best to raise their kids right, but sometimes kids still live differently than their parents do. And I'm not just talking about the early years of your life. I'm talking about how all of us have parents and how sometimes we think differently than they do. Like, a younger generation might think an older one's stuck in the past. Well, the older generation might think a younger one's falling apart. Right? You've seen these conflicts and these stereotypes based on generations. Sometimes changes happen from one generation to the next just because time goes by. But sometimes change happens because you consciously choose not to live the way your parents did. Maybe that sounds like you. Maybe you've made some conscious decisions in your life not to do some things your parents did. Well, this was the case for the original audience of the Gospel of Matthew. This gospel was written around the year 80, so about 50 years after Jesus died. Now, there were plenty of people who had been following Jesus already, but it was just around this time that this particular account got written down. And the people who were the audience of this gospel were people who had grown up in Jewish communities. Right? Their parents had helped them become mature and responsible people. Their parents had taught them the Torah. Their parents had helped them grow in their relationship with God. They had nurtured them in a loving faith community, which is great. Right? That's what faithful, loving parents should do. But then something happened. The people who made up the audience for the Gospel of Matthew turned from what their parents had taught them to a life of following Jesus. So in other words, this audience was made up of Jewish Christians. People who had Jewish background, but who were now committed to following Jesus. Well, of course, when that happened, there was a split. Right? They received tension and pushback from their parents who didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, it got so extreme that many of them were even kicked out of the synagogue. They were no longer allowed to be part of their Jewish communities of origin. Not only that, but in the year 70, about 10 years before this gospel was written, the Roman Empire destroyed the city of Jerusalem and leveled the temple. The destruction of the temple was a traumatic event that would have stuck with them their entire lives. It was even more life-changing than Kennedy's assassination or 9/11, right? It was bigger than that. So imagine yourself as part of that generation. You have chosen to follow Jesus while your parents did not. The community of faith in which you grew up has kicked you out. Because you no longer live the way they want you to live. Your holy city was burned and your temple destroyed. You are facing resistance and persecution. And because of it all, sometimes you wonder if following Jesus is really worth it. In today's gospel reading, we hear words addressed to this community. Yes, these were words originally addressed to Jesus' disciples. But this audience in the year 80 would have resonated with these words. Right? Jesus is telling them that just as people called him names, so too will they call them names. And Jesus tells them that he's come to set parents against their children and children against their parents. Jesus says that those who lose their life for his sake will truly find it. So for a generation of early Christians who were following Jesus, these words would have spoken directly to them, which is great for them. But history lesson aside, what's that got to do with us now? I mean, we don't live in that part of the world in the year 80. We don't live under the shadow of the Roman Empire. We don't live in tension with parents who aren't Christian. Well, some people do, but many people don't. And yes, we might have our own internal doubts and struggles from time to time, but generally, it seems pretty easy to be a Christian in modern-day America. We live in a completely different context than that original audience. Right? Although we are a religiously diverse nation, there still is an unspoken privilege that's given to Christians. Right? Just as how there's white privilege in this country, so too is there Christian privilege. Right? It's common to hear people talk about Christian holidays in our wider culture, like Christmas and Easter. It's common to hear references to Bible stories, like, oh, that person was such a good Samaritan, or the prodigal son returns, right? Whatever it is. Some people even go so far as to say you can't be patriotic without being Christian. So then how do we, comfortable Christians in modern-day America, hear this gospel reading? Well, in one sense, we could say that it's only speaking to the original audience back in 80, and it's got nothing to do with our lives today. But even though knowing that context is important, I think it does still speak to us. Because I'm not so sure that being a Christian is as easy as we think. Like, granted, we don't have people holding us at gunpoint and saying they'll kill us if we confess Jesus. We don't have that kind of violent persecution that our brothers and sisters in Christ in some other countries face. But if it's so easy for us to be Christian in America, then why are we so silent about Jesus? I think there's at least three reasons why. First, we don't talk about him because we might think there isn't a need to talk about him. Right? Given that there is Christian privilege in this country, we kind of assume that many people already know about Jesus. I mean, there are countless congregations all across this country. Lots and lots of people already know about Jesus. So the first reason we don't talk about him is because we don't think we need to. I mean, what's there to say? Second, we don't talk about him because we already know many people who do talk about him. There are people who are a whole lot more outspoken than many of us are. But quite often, the theology they're talking about is a prosperity theology. Or as Martin Luther called it, a theology of glory. This is the theology which says Jesus wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and if it doesn't pan out in your life, then it's all your fault. You're not believing enough, or praying enough, or doing enough, or giving enough, or whatever enough. Right? But of course, that's not how the grace and love of God work. but it's hard to get away from that in our culture. So sometimes we don't speak up for Jesus because we don't want to be grouped in with those Christians, the ones who often give Christianity a bad name. We don't want people to think that just because we're Christian, we buy into this theology of glory. So we just keep our mouths shut. And third, sometimes we don't talk about Jesus because we don't want to, quote, offend somebody. Right? In the United States, people are able to believe whatever they want to believe. So who are we to convince them to believe something different? We don't want somebody shoving their beliefs down our throats, so we'll be polite and not do that for them either. You believe what you want, I'll believe what I want, and we'll just try not to get in each other's way. Right? This is our context, right? It's much different than the context of those early disciples in the year 80. But just as this gospel reading was a word of comfort and encouragement to them, I think it can also be a word of comfort and encouragement to us. Right? Jesus is honest about how hard it is to be a disciple. There will be challenges along the way. You might not want to do it. People might call you names. There might be divisions in your family. You might feel like you're losing your life. There will be plenty of reasons that you hear for why you should keep quiet, all of which is still true today. But what is also true is that Jesus is still with you. No problem that comes your way will make him run away from you. He gives you the strength you need to keep going, to keep being a disciple. Right, in the middle of this text, we get some incredible words by Jesus. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Yes, we may find it hard to live out our faith sometimes. We may find it hard to speak out for Jesus. But really, there's no reason to be afraid. So what if people call you names or think you're weird? They did that to Jesus too. So what if following Jesus means you live differently than the people around you? That's how Jesus lived too. So what if you feel like you're losing your life? That's what Jesus did too. Those kind of responses just come with the territory. Plus, think again about how your life is different than your parents' lives. Some of those differences happen because you chose them to be that way. The life of faith is the same sort of thing. Sometimes we consciously choose to live differently than the world around us. The audience of this gospel back in 80 still followed Jesus. And we still do too. But why? Why do we do it when it's so hard? because Jesus has changed us. He has given us new life. He has called us. He has called you. Nothing else in this life matters as much as he does. And whether you're living in the Middle East in the first century or modern day America in the 21st century, Jesus empowers you. Jesus enlivens you. Jesus encourages you. So truthfully, change is not the only constant thing in life. The other constant thing is Jesus, who is always the same for every generation in all parts of the world. And no matter where you live, that's good news. So in the name of this one who empowers us to follow, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.